Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Sir King Darius. At 4'3", he's the world's biggest rabbit.
He's doing a calendar. He's doing a world tour. There's no stopping Darius.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and joining me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. It's great to be here. Unfortunately, our third co-host this week has refused to... he's refused the fee we offered him.
He wanted six figures.
He wanted six undressed mannequins.
Yep.
Well, I wanted Mario, Yoshi, the Samus amiibo.
Yes.
Six amiibo.
Mm-hmm.
The plural of amiibo.
That was
amiibo.
Only three.
Yeah, but you can make up your own mind on three. I'm not unreasonable.
Zelda on his horse from Breath of the Wild.
No, I can't work under these conditions.
Oh, fuck. Fucking prima donna. It's Adam Knox here refusing those amiibo.
That's me. I'm a member of SAG.
Are
At
you?
Least my bloody pants are.
Oh, he's gangster.
I don't know what they're sagging from.
Yeah.
Big new release coming out next week. We got Bayonetta 3.
Mm.
And the review embargo isn't up yet, but that's not stopping it from grabbing headlines. And
yeah.
As they say, all publicity is good public. No publicity is bad publicity.
Yeah.
All publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
Except if it's a boycott campaign.
Yes.
But then a boycott campaign that spins around later on to be a... We're talking about Bayonetta, that thing when you want three flavors of ice cream at once.
That's right.
Wait, no, that Viennetta isn't even that. What am I thinking of?
Neapolitan.
Neapolitan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was about to say Napoli.
Neapolitan Total War. Bayonetta 3, this has been the most annoying... It's okay. I'm going to give you a timeline here.
Please do.
The year is zero.
Oh, my Whoa. God.
God creates the Garden of Eden.
No. You said you'd been hard at work today working on this timeline. It's showing.
Yeah.
If we're going from zero,
I gotta
believe
throw a flag on the
There's
field.
There's a lad named Adam. He won't work for less than six figures, but God only makes one.
The year zero is when Jesus was born, not when God created the universe.
There's two zeros.
Oh, double
the
zero.
Alpha and Omega.
Okay.
Bear with me. Bayonetta, the voice actor for Bayonetta from the previous games, Helena Taylor.
Helena Cell, sure.
She
different actor.
Has thrown mankind off of the top of her own career.
She's laid the smack down.
Different actor in this game. That's been out there for a little while.
Yeah, Helena Taylor was not going to return. Jennifer Hale, who is like Commander Shepard, is a bunch of other voices.
Mm-hmm.
Well-known voice actor is replacing her as Bayonetta. On Saturday, Helena Taylor posts a thing on Twitter, a series of videos saying, the reason I'm not going to return as Bayonetta is because basically the series' events, as she says it, is they offered me an amount. I said, no, it's too low.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to renegotiate. They offered me $4,000 as the final sum.
Yep.
And I said no.
Hmm.
I'm under an NDA, but I'm breaking it to come and tell you this. And I think that you should all boycott the game if you care about people.
Yes.
People on the internet exploded and started, you know, rightly saying, if it is true that the voice actor for Bayonetta is getting $4,000 for that job,
that's
way too low.
In a, already like beloved franchise.
Yes.
People really like hyped on this one.
Mm-hmm.
If it was like an indie and it was like a small thing and the first, you know, one, then even then it would be really low. But you could kind of understand
it's
like
a
smaller studio or whatever. But this is like, big studio published by Nintendo, and people were clamoring for the
announcement
of this game. So people are,
Like, this is in US dollars, obviously, but even converted to Australian, you expect more than that to be in a short television ad.
Right, yes, right. Oh, exactly, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it is a low fee for any actor.
Yes. I got to say, though, I love the move of dropping this on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the office.
Well,
no one at Platinum ready to launch back.
Yeah. Guess when you can be on Twitter at all times.
Yes.
Because Hideki Kamiya eventually tweets something like that he thinks it's sad and deplorable what she's saying and that it isn't the truth.
He went full Trump, basically.
Yeah. Sad and deplorable.
It's sad. It's sad what she's saying. It's sad. She's the worst voice actor of all time.
But then mixed with Clinton saying deplorables.
Yes.
So he's right in the middle of the fence.
They love their American culture, the Japanese.
He's bipartisan.
He is.
Yeah.
Hideki, by the way, for context for anyone who's not fully across it, the director of Bayonetta.
The director of Bayonetta.
Yep.
Beloved
figure in there at Platinum Games.
Mm. Yeah, but also controversial figure, I learned this week, can be a bit of an asshole on Twitter especially.
Oh, okay.
When they had the Kickstarter for remastering The Wonderful 101, one of like the stretch or like the backer rewards that you could get at a certain price was, he'll abuse you and then block you on Twitter.
Right.
So he's well known for that kind of behavior.
He had these sort of like this list of rules that you had to follow if you were going to interact with him on Twitter. Like,
stuff like that.
New rules.
Right.
I count them. So that all takes place.
So that just happened.
And then
on the weekend,
people get mad at him
and
at Nintendo. And level-headed, again, as people are on the internet, they take it way too far, are sending fucking crazy threats to, like, because Helena Taylor brings Jennifer Hale into it in this weird way by saying, like, good for her, I hope she gets jobs, but she's not Bayonetta. She has no right to claim that she's Bayonetta, to ever sign anything as Bayonetta.
Right. Right.
People start going at Jennifer Hale, which is like, obviously fucking fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't go at anyone. Yeah.
If this is true, like if what Helena Taylor has said is true, then completely fair enough to like go, this is just the way that people get taken advantage of in this industry and shine a light on it and try and make sure that it doesn't happen to other people. But I got to say, the thing of like the call to action of the boycott of the game, I find that kind of undermined. You know what I mean? It just seems a little bit needlessly like...
I mean, it's the only power she has is to say that. And with the Jennifer Hale thing, like, I don't believe that this was a fair thing to bring up for her too. But, like, I think also she's probably thinking, like, look, if I'm going to make any money off this in future, it's like going to cons and signing autographs and, you know, like, meets and greets. And, like, that's what I think voice actors and actors think when they're signing up for a role like
and
this.
She never said go fucking hound her on Twitter,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
but
she knows what world she's living in, and she has said boycott this game, so it's kind of a bit like,
who knows if that statement is true into this story
true.
Jennifer Hale is a scab. Now, what is the future information that I haven't read yet that may change my perspective?
So
there was another response, wasn't there?
There's more. Jennifer Hale puts out a pretty blanket thing of like, hey, look, I don't want anyone to be upset. I'm under an NDA that I'm not going to break.
Yes,
I'm not doing this to steal food off of anybody else's table.
Mm.
But there's more to it than it might seem.
She does basically hint around, and I saw a colleague of hers, another voice actor who knows her very well. She basically is like, yeah, I'm not going to... I like to do my due diligence with this kind of stuff.
Right.
Which is something that a friend of hers, like a colleague, another voice actor, he sort of comes in and he verifies that and goes, look, this happens a lot where people will replace someone else. The best thing you can do is contact the person who you're replacing and find out what the, you know, what's actually gone on.
Right.
And I know that Jennifer isn't the sort of person to like... undercut someone or under, like, he goes into bat for her, basically.
Yeah, and at this point, Helena Taylor has never said that Jennifer Hale didn't do that. But also, who cares? Because as we go, so we're getting one person's side of this.
Yes.
Blanketly, instead of abiding by an NDA.
Yeah.
That is one person's perspective on this. The other side kind of doesn't say much because they're acting as though their hands are a little more tied, as they are, than she was acting like.
Mm-hmm.
Then our mate, Jason Schreck.
Sudeikis.
Goes
and Sudeikis Olivia Wilde.
Absolutely flips out because Helena Taylor has been making salad dressing for Jennifer. This is a twit. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
Fuck Harry Styles. At this point, Jennifer Hale's a scab and Harry Styles is shit.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He's a homewrecker.
Yeah.
He's a homewrecker, and he's a bad actor.
Ben playing the voice, I assume, of the freaks on the internet who make up their mind
I'm
after 2 seconds.
The knee-jerk reaction. Yeah, I'm not actually thinking about it.
I wouldn't even say it's the freaks on the internet. It's like... A 12-year-old's dad who they've just described this to in bullet points in the course of like 2 minutes. And they've just had to make a shoot from the hip reaction.
Right, but people are really reacting to this. It's gotten under people's collars. It's created a... Because it is a thing about being underpaid when we are living in a time where a lot of workers get exploited.
Absolutely.
Yes. It is a real issue, especially in video game world. There are so many stories about... like all the crunch stories and people not being valued, and boycott is the first thing people bring up when it comes to those, which makes a bit more sense because you're talking about a corporate entity exerting its power over its employees, and a boycott is the equivalent of a strike in that way.
Yes.
This is one person who is saying that they have a, what seems already at this point, particularly personal grievance with the thing. It does, anyway.
Yeah, and I think why it's captured
not
people
as well,
too.
Not that there aren't problems with Nintendo, you know.
Yeah, I think why it's captured people as well is it's a bit of like how the sausage gets made stuff, where people are like fascinated by like, you know, this stuff isn't really public knowledge. It's like, wait, that's what you get paid to like voice a cat? Like that kind of tickles people as well.
Right, and it's not crazy far off.
No.
What you might get paid.
Right.
It's low,
but
it's not as low as people think.
Yeah.
I'm fairly...
Well,
confident in saying.
Because now what's happened since? There's been... Oh, yeah, the Shrek.
Since...
The Shrek man.
Jason Schreier goes, activates whatever weird, like, journalism machine I envision him getting into, where it's like one of those seats where you get in and it leans all the way back.
Yeah. Yes.
And, like, VR goggles descend onto his eyes and then, like, one of those mechanical fleshlights.
Yes.
I'm picturing Jason Schreck Jr. He's like sitting on the porch, like he's got the fishing rod and the camping gear ready to go.
Yes.
Dad said he'd be there to pick him up and he's like, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Stuff is going on over in Japan. I have to head into Bloomberg HQ and log on.
Yep.
Strap into the fleshlight.
And then he sits down on the porch with his laptop and the kid's like, well, couldn't you bring the light? No.
How long does it take to bash up a news article?
Shut up. Longer if you keep talking.
Yeah. Maybe I could help Dad.
I doubt it.
Go and console your crying mother.
Yeah.
They're never going to be able to do an investigative report on me.
That's it.
I'm the guy.
I'm recasting my son.
So Jason Schreier investigates this and quite quickly puts out, I guess, you know, on Wednesday and it started happening on Saturday, puts out a thing being like, and he's the type of guy who will only publish something if... It is like journalistic integrity level.
Yeah, if
multiple
he believes
sources.
He does his due
diligence. Yes. Yeah. Mm. So he has multiple sources with written evidence confirming the way she says it is a little misrepresentative. And the way that his story makes it sound is that she initially gets offered $15,000 for recording 4 sessions.
Right.
So it's 4 sessions each at... Like
each
$4,000 to $5,000, which is
standard
the
kind of thing, is
a little
right.
Over. Yeah, the like SAG rate.
Yeah,
right.
Which is like the rate that. Do you remember the voice actors strike back in like 2016?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was about getting residuals. A lot of that they didn't end up getting it, but they ended up with this minimum sheet that people keep referencing. Mm. So what they offered her initially was like kind of the going rate.
Mm-hmm.
She is. Reprising a character who she has done before, so you would expect it to go up.
Yeah.
And but you know she doesn't have an enormous amount of credits and stuff, and a lot of why an actor gets paid so much is because they themselves are a brand deal.
Yeah.
So the reason that if you cast George Clooney in a movie that he costs millions of dollars isn't because he's millions of dollars worth of acting, it's because he has a name and a brand.
He brings
know
something
that.
To it.
Yeah, he'll make the money back in ticket sales,
right.
Ideally.
Which Helena Taylor herself doesn't have. Her portrayal of Bayonetta, but she's getting offered $15,000 roughly at like a minimum for these sessions. Refuses that, asks for 6 figures plus residuals.
Yeah.
They say no.
No ziggies.
No.
She wants some of that sweet Amiibo money.
They reply with no ziggies and she has to be like, what? And then
no,
they're like, sorry.
She's in the industry.
She's in the biz, you're right. She's in the biz.
Yeah.
Because you're right, like she doesn't have that, like when the story just was that someone different was playing the role in this game before any of this stuff had happened, the response was just, oh. Like, people weren't like,
this is,
it's not like, I mean, people are going nuts about Charles Martinet not being Mario in the movie because it's like an iconic performance and people know like that name and that personality. He brings something to it, whereas like Yeah, like, not to say that it's not a great performance, but it's not, yeah, she's not up there in the consciousness.
Yes.
In the same way as like a big, yeah, a marquee actor.
Right. And I'm sure if they put out a Bayonetta 3 trailer that had Bayonetta being like, heaven versus hell, let's rock and roll, like people yeah. might have yeah. had I more agree. Of an issue with it.
The issue of it's too good.
But
it's
most
too good. I wish we were doing the pot off the back of that being the story. That'd be great.
You're right. Most of the comments I saw around that were like, oh, wonder why, or like,
yeah,
oh, wonder
yeah, if it's too yeah. busy.
Been
or
a while and a voice
scheduling
is gone.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Anyway, so that was the initial offer. She responded with yeah six figures in residuals and then
they
Nintendo
say no?
says no Platinum mm. says no they mm. recast it but say to her, hey look, we'd love to have you do a like a cameo, we'll do one short session for $4,000
mm-hmm.
which like apparently the kind of spoilers for Bayonetta, it seems as though there's multiple Bayonettas in this Bayonetta
oh
3.
It's a multiverse
oh.
it might be some sort of multiverse thing,
so okay. a bit of like she walks past it's like, who's that old bitch over there? Who do you think you're calling old bit, you know,
yes.
bit of that
yes.
kind of yeah,
damn
right.
we got a new voice actor for Bayonetta.
We could undercut Jennifer Hale
because people are also going like, well, if Jennifer Hale's doing it, she would have cost more money because she's a more
so.
Established voice actor,
mm.
but also possibly not that much more. We don't know.
And I guess if you are a regularly working voice actor, you might not need to take more.
Right.
You might be comfortable
yeah.
taking.
Hey, I got the gap in the yeah. schedule. It's four sessions. It's like,
I've already paid off my house.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
yeah.
Who knows? That's the difficult thing with money, especially with acting money, which is a type of money that people don't respect in the first place in
sure.
a gross way, where like people think like, what, that much money for that much work? I gotta, that ain't worth it.
Well, I mean, I guess we have the opposite perspective of like,
right.
that is. Even $15,000 for a fucking whole video game, it seems like nothing.
It's not a lot
yeah,
of money.
It's really not.
It's 30,000 yeah. Australian, I suppose, is the equivalent. But like, yes, it's not.
When you think about it, like that would be, that wouldn't be, that would be on the slightly upper end of like what you would get for an ad. But the
yeah.
thing about ads is that they're very, they come and go. Like
yeah.
you're being paid for them to maybe be on the air for like 6 months generally or whatever.
You don't get any personal notoriety out
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
It's,
but it's crazy to me for like an amount
except
of...
Except for more ads, I guess.
And
yeah.
if you're on like an Australian series
mm-hmm.
for 10 episodes or whatever, as a first-time actor on that, you can expect three times that at least.
Sure.
Yep.
You know, like
sure.
it's not a lot of money.
No, it's
no.
not.
But this being something that is then around for like a product
yeah.
that exists...
Right, right.
physically, tangibly, for a long, long time in the future.
But
like, it almost seems like it should be priced in terms of, like, how long this thing is going to be around for.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the residuals argument, which
yeah.
voice
right.
actors didn't win.
That's crazy.
Back in the time.
Because it's like, that's not, you're not taking money out of the pocket of Nintendo. You're taking a bit of
afterwards.
Profit.
Yeah,
it's
just,
yeah.
Hey, if you want to talk about, like, universal basic income.
Let's do it.
Like,
I'm going to spin my chair around,
the
boys.
Idea
let's wrap.
That the market forces shouldn't determine something's value. Because, like,
yeah.
you can easily replace a voice actor more easily than any other type of actor.
Sure.
Especially in the medium of a video game. 95% of video games, no one's going to actually give a shit.
Yeah.
Right.
If the person going, ow! Is
yeah, yeah.
one person or another. Like,
yeah.
it's a shame. And it's weird,
mm-hmm.
but they know it, and business is cold and mean.
Right.
I mean, she must have thought, like, when they start, when they turn around and start going, well, you know, we could always recast you. She must have felt like, I'm pretty safe here.
Well,
they're desperate
yeah.
if they're throwing
yeah.
that kind of stuff around. I've got them by the short and curly.
Right.
Oh, blow me down.
They'll just do it.
they actually did it.
It yeah. sounds from the way this Schreier thing went that they didn't want to recast her,
mm.
but were like, oh, okay, I guess we have to.
We just don't have the money
to
pay
for...
you six figures and, yeah.
And maybe that's not right. Maybe she's right that voice actors, especially if you're playing a character that is like the centerpiece of a game, should maybe make more than that.
Yeah,
because yeah, it's not like they don't have the money.
And well, then that was this yeah. other thing where it's like, well, does the sales of the Bayonetta series justify this amount versus how many people have worked on it and how much it's made, and
yeah.
the answer's maybe not. And so it's
and if they're
real
undercutting
complicated,
the
obviously.
Industry minimum, then sure, but like at the end of the day, they're not.
Right.
So your issue is right. more with like what the actual
right.
SAG rates are. Like I was in an ad a while ago for a big company, and there were four of us in the ad, And one of us
this
had...
This is for Big Dildos Incorporated.
This is for Big Dildos big, Incorporated.
This is the ad that Tommy did for Big Dildos
I didn't,
Inc.
Right. Man, I really didn't want to name them because I no longer use their product. I use Bigger Dildos Incorporated.
Oh, whoa. Yes. I'm surprised they're allowed to register that name.
I'm
going to do
guys...
Double McDonald's. That's my restaurant.
McDonald's. Yeah.
Dumb Starbucks. You can do it.
Oh, shit.
One of the guys in the ad had management, and so his manager kind of ended up becoming the de facto manager for all the rest of us because we were like in kind of a group thing.
Right.
And it was one of those things where we got it and then they kind of kept adding new things to it. So it was like, the shoot's actually going to be a bit longer.
More work.
We want you to do this appearance. We want to film one or two more things. And it was just insane to me how at literally every step of the way, the offer would come through. It's like, oh, we're going to tack this on and it'll be this much money. And we'd sort of go, okay, great. And then this guy's manager who was like looped in the emails with us would be like, hold on, that should be like, you know, maybe a third more than.
Right.
Like literally every step of the way, you would think like a big company like that, like, no, but they're like just trying to undercut you like constantly.
If I've learned anything from my time working for Big Dildos Incorporated, it's that everyone's always trying to fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you did replace me after I started asking for more money. So it's
and
crazy
I don't want
to
explain how I'd had to do it.
Well, yeah, when you say people are constantly trying to fuck you, that was the script of Big Dildos, the ad campaign.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a complicated thing. I would say, of course it's complicated, but people don't treat it that way on the internet. And then the story becomes, now there's fucking scores of people on either side hounding fucking someone.
Yeah.
And that's a mess and a nightmare. And that is a thing with Helena Taylor, is it doesn't seem like she has that representation
to
go to bat
for
her.
Yes, exactly. So she's come back to, after that report about what Platinum's offer actually was.
Right.
She has said something back to that, hasn't she? She's come back and just basically gone, that's bullshit.
She said that's bullshit, and then they're saying, well, her side is bullshit.
Which is, like, crazy either way, because it's like, one of these people is just, like, straight up making stuff up.
Yes. I think for me, the fact that neither of their stories contradict one another means that it is a difference of opinion. Because she says the same story. They made her an offer. She made a return. They offered her $4,000 as the final offer.
Right.
That's also their story, but theirs has more detail about, like, well, we offered her $15,000 for this. She didn't want to do it. We offered a different amount of money for a different thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they're the same story, but clearly each of them has different points of view on it. And I think the one thing has happened and neither of them is deliberately lying.
Well, yeah, I guess because her, right, it's like, I was the protagonist of this game.
Right. Mm.
I asked for what I thought was a fair amount of money to do the third one. And to me, to my mind and my interpretation, they refused and then they offered me $4,000. She didn't then state like, or clarify like, the $4,000 was sort of like, like a handout for a cameo, which is, again, would be maybe her perspective.
Yeah. Mm.
But you're right. It's like the facts line up. It's just one person is looking out for themselves as you have to, as we just said, Tommy, like... Mm. You got to be looking out for yourself in the industry.
They each have a disagreement about her specific value, and neither of them is necessary. Like, she is probably worth more, but probably less than she thinks, and she's probably worth more than they would try and make her think.
Yeah, yeah.
The same with most interactions like this, right?
Yeah.
It's just that this has been a very public one. Where generally this sort of mess, people go, oh, well, fuck that, and then don't do it. And it's this sort of interaction is not uncommon as well with this type of world. So, like,
and that's funny because you think about any other industry, it's like you can apply for a job and they'll have a salary range that they think that you might be worth, and you can usually negotiate that to be higher based on a resume.
Yeah.
And you're not even a famous person, you know? Like, that's the kind of dumb thing about it. And often you get paid lots of money to work in an office. Whereas, like, being a performer, it feels like she'll be valued more because of the revenue that the actual product brings in.
Yeah, it's just what percentage of that are you?
Mm,
and for her, it's probably a low percentage because nobody really was that bothered when she was replaced. Mm. And maybe that's not fair. And there's ways of making that not the case if you're willing to manipulate the world to be famous.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that you have to have a brand around you for that brand to be worth money. So it's a messy thing, and it's a shame that it's led to people getting fucking harassed. I hate that fucking shit so much.
Yeah. Yep.
And come at me on the internet if you disagree. But like,
well, and yeah, if you're Nintendo, where presumably this has all been handled, like they're publishing it.
Right.
But this has all been handled like kind of separate to them. Let's right. say, I would assume. This is between yeah. Platinum and the actor. But then this now is having a negative effect on how this game that is a week away from coming out is going to be perceived. And, you know, seeing a few people online say that they are going to boycott it, which, you know, I guess, you know, if you feel that way, sure. But it does then get into that territory of like, man, if you want to start looking into, you know, if the people that make the art that you like are being paid the right amount, then get ready to have a pretty bare shelf. Because, yeah. like, yeah. yeah, it's kind of a, I think it's, I don't know.
And also, like, we've said this with other games and, like, the Harry Potter game of, like, well, you can, if you want to boycott a game based on an individual, you know, person's situation relating to that game, you're boycotting, you know, 500 other people who worked on that game, you
yes,
know,
like that's true.
They didn't, they're not part of that situation.
Yes. Yes. And she's already out. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know. I'd like to think that some good would come of this, but it does just seem like a kind of like weirdly sort of like spiteful move that I don't know if it would
right.
make that much of a like lasting impact.
I think
down the line,
it's very personal, like you said before. I think Nox, like
yeah.
it boils down to a personal disagreement that yeah, people have taken sides, but yeah, at the end of the day, I don't think there's any like industrial change to come of it. It's you know, it
right.
is more just like maybe if people talk about it enough and do you know. Start trying to value voice actors more.
Yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah.
the thing that's made it messy is that it is this quite specific personal, or not personal, is it, but like quite specific, quite
yeah, yeah.
individual
unique
to this
yeah, yeah, yeah.
situation that for lots of people and for understandable reasons becomes symbolic of worker exploitation.
Right.
You know,
yep.
and it doesn't necessarily have to be that. Even if it is a case of that, it makes things messier if you view them as representative of larger things because you get too emotional about them.
Yeah, yeah. You get, yeah, biases get introduced and like
right.
you have to maybe just put the blinkers on and actually look at. Yeah.
But then sometimes that shit's good and it creates genuine change. So
yeah.
fuck
yeah.
do I know about goddamn anything.
You know I know a lot about Silent Hill. Do you want to hear about that? I know heaps about it. I'm an expert and I can tell you everything.
Yeah. I'll just tell you what my idea or what I think the dream end of the scenario would
oh,
be.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Helena Taylor, Bayonetta 3 comes out, Twitch streams it.
Oh!
Savage commentary of the new voice actor.
Oh, but also does... I thought
does
you were going to say,
does
the voice
shit
over...
on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Just goes Nods over...
It. Does her own mod.
Yeah.
I reckon my ideal outcome of this would be everyone gets treated fairly, everyone works things out nicely, no one ever yells at each other on the internet or in real life.
That would be good.
What okay. if that happened?
I'm going to boycott Twitter because of the response to this boycott.
Oh, yeah. That is so tempting.
Hit him where it hurts.
Cots just for boys. Well, I'm not going to buy them. That's not fair. Yeah, Silent Hill, huh?
I mean, actually, now that I think of it, Konami, not a company without its own controversies.
Find one.
Yeah.
yeah.
And specifically
if you
Silent
found
Hill.
One, pay attention to them for two more years. And
yeah,
then,
yeah.
But yeah, yeah. So, boy, it, weird, right? Konami's making games again.
They're making a few games, or at least they're publishing a few games.
Yep.
Because, yeah, even the remake of Silent Hill 2 that I think was the first trailer in the Silent Hill Transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And has
which
been...
was, like, nicely... stylized this presentation. It was
right.
it was like a little horror thing.
Okay.
That's cool.
It was cool.
Like, did you get scared?
Like, yeah, I got scared.
By a trailer.
No, by the to camera presentation.
Yeah.
They kept clicking. I was like, oh, no, that's someone else's thing.
What language are they speaking? I can't understand.
By so, the main page of YouTube. Ah.
There are, I think, 5 different projects
yeah,
that
yeah,
they
there
mentioned.
Was, yeah, there was a whole bunch.
The Silent Hill 2 remake has been... around for a while. It has like leaked out ages ago or something.
Right.
The Bloober team who
yes.
did The Medium. Mm-hmm. Remember The Medium?
And a couple other things, right?
Some more stuff. Layers of Fear
Layers
is their other
fear,
one. They've done
yeah.
some horror games. I liked The Medium.
Yeah, same.
That was that early new series Xbox One, right?
We yes.
can
yeah.
between the... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool.
That's exactly
yep.
the one.
A Game Pass release, again, yep. like a relatively... Yeah.
That is
big one.
They are doing a full remake of Silent Hill 2,
which
is a separate story from Silent Hill 1, so it doesn't really matter that they're just jumping straight into 2.
Yep.
To remake it. It's for the PC and PS5.
Yes.
For the first year, and then it'll come to Xbox, that means.
Right.
And there's no indication of when I think any of these are coming out, any of these Silent Hill things.
I don't think so from memory, nah.
But that is on its way.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
This has been like talked about, rumored about.
Yeah,
for ages.
Yeah.
So you get just randomly getting this confirmation.
Well, and it means, so Konami going in and letting someone else remake Silent Hill 2 lends weight to the idea that Metal Gear Solid is getting a remake.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which has been another rumor that's kind of been going around for a while and would make sense for them to do if they are open to the idea of remaking their old games.
Mm-hmm.
So that will probably happen at some point. But yeah, because Silent Hill, you sort of mentioned before, was controversial because that was the thing that Kojima was working on when they booted him.
Yes.
And anyway.
The PT game that I just saw someone tweeted about today. They managed to get onto like a non-jailbroken PS5, which is exciting.
I would love PS5?
Yeah. I'd like to be able to play it at some point in my life. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, they're working with new developers, and obviously they're not bringing back anyone who is a creative, voice.
Mm-hmm.
But Bloob is cool, like you said. Medium is a fun, good, well-developed game.
Well, because we didn't even mention this at any point, but the part of the reason they wouldn't be doing it is because a lot of people left with Kojima to his new thing, and they're working on a new game right now.
Yeah,
but, like, Elle Fanning is in. Kojima posts a bunch of stuff with her, like in a motion capture suit.
They dropped a little teaser or something at one of the recent events, Tokyo Game Show or PAX.
I guess so.
I think it was PAX.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Kojima posts so much stuff of just stuff that he likes that it's sometimes hard to be like, is this him announcing something or is this just a dog that he saw in the street that he thinks looks cool?
Right. Is this going to be the spine of some bad horror movie from 1984?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit, Kojima? And then suddenly it's like, by the way, we're working on what appears to be Death Stranding 2.
Mm.
Elle Fanning's in it. I want to meet famous people every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, just to put in a bit of Kojima talk in to annoy the Silent Hill Konami people. And I think the Silent Hill 2 remake was their like front foot big news.
Yep. And everyone will like this because it's an old thing that they already know about.
A classic.
Hopefully this opens the door for, you said, Konami remastering more of their old games. Hopefully this means that at some stage they do a remaster of my favorite Konami game from back in the day, Tiny Toon Adventures Buster Busts Loose on the Super Nintendo. Hopefully we get that on the PS5 sometime in the next couple of years.
A full ground up remake. Honestly, Bloober.
These days,
it's a horror game now.
The 2022 and onwards is the day to put out more games with the word bust in the title twice.
Yes.
It'll get big.
Exactly.
Yes.
The
Busters Bussin.
It comes out the 1st of December.
Okay.
Fresh out of No Nut November.
Okay.
It's bust day, everybody.
Yeah.
Go to the shops and get your sticky hands on a copy of... I hope Konami remake Pro Evolution Soccer 2002.
Fuck yeah.
That'd be nice.
I think the second most significant one is a brand new Silent Hill game.
Oh, yes.
Called Silent Hilf.
Yeah, Silent Hilf. I'm pumped for this.
A Silent Hill I'd like to fuck.
Yeah.
Silent Hill F is set in the 1960s in Japan. It is described as a beautiful yet horrifying world.
Whoa.
The trailer for this one was great because it was like this interesting, like detailed sort of, figure. And then their face peeled off.
Fuck yeah.
And you saw their brains.
That's cool, dude.
It was sick.
I refuse to watch until I see at least 5 detailed and interesting figures.
All right. Okay. We'll see what we can do. No promises.
Silent Hill Townfall.
Yes.
Okay. Is the third game.
Yep.
From this. You've got Silent Hill 2. You might think that's been out for 20 years.
I do.
You'd be wrong.
Okay.
in a way.
Yes.
It's not even called like Silent Hill 2 Remake or Remaster or anything like that. Just straight up.
Just Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, which I was like,
I love it.
Is this a soft reboot starting from 2? Was like literally what I thought when I saw the title.
Yeah. It's weird to even call it 2. Call it Silent Hill and then a subtitle.
Mm. Yeah.
But it'll
or Silent 2 Remake, yeah, which other games have already done. And yeah,
we'll just have to do that thing of Silent Hill 2 brackets 2023.
Oh, yeah.
Or 4 yeah. or 5 or never. Yeah. Townfall is Annapurna.
Yes.
And a company called No Code, who I don't know them.
I think they're the people who made Observation.
You're right. Yeah.
Yes. Which was a game that I actually played. It was an indie sci-fi game where you're an AI on a spaceship and you transfer your perspective from camera to camera.
Oh, yeah.
And then solve puzzles in the actual world.
I love that game. No Code.
And the other two, there's three other things. An online merchandise shop called The Sweet Factory.
Okay,
that's sick.
I didn't see that. I must have closed the video before that
too
one popped up.
Launch.
Yeah. Capitalism. Oh!
Watching from behind your fingers.
Shut up and take my money.
Silent Hill Ascension.
Yes.
So I'm going to read you what this says it is.
Okay.
And you tell me if you understand it, Tommy, because you've seen this before, Ben.
Yep.
I love this game show, by the way.
Silent Hill Ascension.
It's not trivia. It's just, do you understand the question?
No, I know.
It is a collaboration between Genvid, Bad Robot, which is J.J. Abrams' one, and Behavior Interactive.
Okay.
And is a live, real-time, interactive streaming series. There's no reset button. So whatever transpires in the series will be canon forever.
A live interactive streaming series.
Yes.
So this, interesting. So it's like a choose your own adventure. So it's like a Bandersnatch thing, right?
I think it's multi-person live Bandersnatch.
But live, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's like, so during the pandemic, Tinder... I was on Tinder during the pandemic.
Oh yeah,
right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, pretty late in the pandemic.
Early
right?
days pandemic, and they did a thing that was like this weird like adventure show about the end of the world.
Oh,
where you were choosing what choice you'd make, and
right.
it created a story for you, and then you'd be matched with people who'd made the same choices.
Oh,
that's
or
actually
you'd see
cool.
what choices other people had made.
Yeah.
Right? I imagine this is that. I imagine JJ's been on Tinder
and so
of this.
It's something like this show is happening. You're voting on what should happen.
That would be my
but
guess.
There's like a global kind of like
a poll.
A poll.
Yeah.
That would be my
that
guess.
That does
influence.
And there's no like you then can't go back and like change your answer. Then they're like making new stuff based on like what everyone has said.
I think so.
Or they've got.
Or also, I assume as well like. Or what the people in the show do, if it's live. I guess it'd be scripted, but if they...
It could just be...
You know, if they respond to a prompt, like a Twitch plays...
Yeah.
It's got literally,
show.
Like...
It's live, though.
It's got Twitch chat in the trailer,
right.
basically.
Okay.
So
Twitch makes TV.
It's like Twitch plays Pokemon.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's
so
cool.
It's
That's
just
a good
idea.
Make the Silent Hill monster say the N-word. Make it say the N-word.
Oh, yeah. You get the 4chan, you know, like campaigns.
Yeah.
This really does seem like the sort of idea that, it doesn't make it off the whiteboard because it's like we're killing ourselves if we think that
it's gonna
people
be the worst
are
going to
engage with this in the way we hope.
But yeah, if they do restrict it to like a certain platform of inputting inputs, they can at least moderate that.
Pyramid Head is based.
Well, that's true. Update.
And also, there's a movie called Return to Silent Hill.
It's by the same director as the 2006 Silent Hill film.
I had no idea there was one.
He's a French director who had made, not much before that, he'd made a movie called Brotherhood of the Wolf. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was sort of like a martial arts set in medieval, and it was like fine. It was sort of like a 70% or this is actually kind of good. And if you have sort of more B movie tastes, it was like quite enjoyable.
Okay.
And then I think he made Silent Hill, and then like nothing for a decade or
He's
something.
He's just literally been sitting by the phone waiting for me to call him and say Silent Hill 2.
It's actually really sad. He crashed his car in the hills and ended up in this town that he didn't know.
Shit.
And he was walking around in this foggy town, and he's been there the whole
How's
time.
How's his daughter?
Bad news. Oh, no! I actually don't know anything about this director, so I hope he either doesn't have a daughter or that she's okay.
Yeah, I haven't played
the game. Is this... Is, that's
No.
No.
Knox was just riffing. It's that like a live just... interactive show we're doing.
Tell me to
shut up at any point.
Off.
So those are all the Silent Hill things. I've never played any Silent Hill game, really, for any significant amount of time.
I remember watching a friend play maybe the first one,
right,
and being quite, you know, pretty scared. But yeah, it's like a, it's like the medium. You're walking around a crazy building and
Resident Evil-y kind of things.
Yeah.
So yeah, Silent Hill stuff's coming.
It's back.
Yeah. It's gonna spook you. It's the spooky season.
It is.
But you know, one situation where you don't want to scare somebody.
Where? What situation would that be?
When they take your pants off.
Oh.
You don't want them to be like, damn, I can't see anything here because of this fog. Wait a minute, that's not fog. It's pubes.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Or is it a werewolf?
It could be.
Or some other hairy monster.
Tommy? I'd have just not said the word or.
Tommy, any ideas?
Ah, the bloody...
Ah. That's the kind of... That kind of MIL joke.
Yeah.
Is the type of thing you might love if you don't like the products of Manscaped because they're for smart people.
That's right.
Not people who love a mother-in-law joke. Manscaped, we're talking about them again.
Yeah, they're our loyal supporters. They're our loyal sponsors. They've been with us for, I think, almost 2 years at this point.
And goddamn, we're lucky they make good products.
Yeah.
We're lucky that they accepted our request of six figures and residuals in the Manscaped company.
That's
so
right.
So we get a back end of all the ads that we're doing for them. It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And all of the trimmed hair we can eat.
We get sent bag after bag every week.
Yeah.
How does Manscaped collect your hair? We'll never tell. But they do, and that's a promise.
That's right. They also, more importantly than collecting your hair, they shave it off, and their products are the best in the world at doing that. I've been using them every day.
Every day?
No, I exaggerate. Maybe I'll use the nose trimmer one day, and then I'll use my second lawnmower to shave my face.
Okay, yeah.
And then the third day... Go downstairs.
Yep.
And that's in the basement of my house. That's where I keep my other trimmer, and then I shave my pubes.
Yes, okay.
Complete darkness.
That's right. Yes.
There's no lights down there.
No.
They're all great. Go to manscaped.com, and if you use the code FILTHY, here's a little trick that I learned. I hacked into their website, and I found this.
I think it's more of a treat.
You use the code FILTHY, right?
Yeah.
And you get 20% off and free shipping.
Fuck, that's good.
Yeah. That money you save, spend it on pumpkins, motherfucker.
Damn.
Tis the season to be jolly about pumpkins.
And if you want to maybe log into a streaming service and watch a horror movie in a country that you don't live in, you might use NordVPN for that.
Mm. You could log into an English streaming service and watch an English horror movie, which is just a movie where someone is impolite.
Yeah.
Someone jumps a queue.
Yeah. This is normal in this country, and we're actually bad at queuing, and we pretend we're good at it, but we're actually the fucking worst.
Yeah.
That's my real opinion about them.
But we are uptight about it.
They'll fucking chew your ear off.
They'll tut-tut you.
NordVPN is the way to do it. Yeah, it's another great service, and they've been sponsoring us for ages too. They've been chucking us some help.
Yes,
and you know what? We're the kind of generous blokes who'll return the favor.
That's right. You need a VPN to do any of the things that we've said, any of them.
Yeah,
but especially the one where you log into the BBC iPlayer from a different country and watch a show.
If you're looking to harass a voice actor on Twitter, you don't want to do that from your main account.
That's
using
true.
Your IP address.
Yeah, if you want
do it.
Yeah.
Don't be use NordVPN and be nice to somebody on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
But not overly nice, or that's creepy too.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say you could be a secret admirer.
Yeah. You want them to think they've got a lot of fans in Romania.
That's right.
Sucked in. That's just where you've set your
you've
VPN.
You've wasted your money on the flights, idiot. That's actually a great trick.
Yeah.
NordVPN is a fantastic way to prank your favorite podcast.
Yeah, or have some privacy and security when you use the internet.
A more practical usage, and it works very well, and reasonable prices, and prices get even more reasonable when you go to nordvpn.com/filthy.
Mm.
They'll give you a big old discount, 4 months free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like they're fucking joking.
I know. It's a crazily good deal. Yeah.
It's like they're lying to you. You see that video of the guy suspicious about the water bottle that went viral? There's this company that does free water bottles, but they've got ads on the water bottle. That's how they pay for it.
Okay.
Makes total sense, right?
Yeah.
You understand their business model immediately.
Yep.
Yes. Water bottles with ads, but it's free.
Mm-hmm.
This fucking guy stands there for like 20 minutes being like, what's wrong with it? What do you mean it's free? And the guy doesn't... I wanted to be like, TV! It's like TV!
Yeah.
It's free, but there's ads. It's TV.
It's most things.
Yeah.
It's YouTube.
It's podcast.
It's this podcast. Yeah. Also, you can go to patreon.com/filthycasualspod. And that is actually a great way to help out.
Yeah.
We love our supporters over there. And thank you very much for being a part of that.
That's right.
Fucking drink the water. It's fine.
Drink the water. Drink the Kool-Aid.
Drink the ad. You guys tempted by this getting Netflix for $7 a month if it has ads through it?
No.
I mean, my God.
No.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Grow up. Anyone rubbing their hands together being like, oh, yes.
Yeah, getting but did
little,
you...
Getting a little discount on
finally,
Netflix.
A cheap version of Netflix. Piracy.
Yeah.
Well, because they're about to charge... They're about to start charging people who have... Hey, maybe a VPN would be handy here. Double user login, handing out the email address and the password to people who clearly aren't in their house.
I mean, it's the please don't eat or drink on the train of the online world, isn't it?
Right.
Please don't share your password. Please don't give your password to your mum and dad.
Yeah.
We want them to sign up.
Well,
please suck my dick.
Please don't piss on the seat. Please wash your hands. I'm going to start sending around some PTOs who'll be like, get your feet off the seat. You're under arrest.
Well, I'm going to have to kick old BV off my Netflix account. I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
I'm not taking the fall for you.
Well, I already...
Son of a bitch.
I already don't... Because you changed your password again, so I haven't...
Oh, yeah, that's
I haven't
right.
been on it in ages.
What's your new one?
What is my new one? That's a good point. Oh, it's something about my dog. It's really embarrassing.
Don't even do that. Change it again now.
Yeah, okay, I will.
Yeah.
I'll have to.
Yeah, good.
Your VPN also offers security things. Anyway.
I think you said dog VPN.
Hey, guess what?
What?
We've been talking about video games a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not for a few minutes, but yeah.
I happened to have played some.
You Me stumbled too. Across one.
I stumbled across a fucking few.
Some old kids
shit.
Left
I woke
out
up
in
this
field.
This gross, disgusting biological machine.
Oh, yeah.
And stumbled my way around it looking for video games, and I happened to find one called Scorn.
Hey! So, yeah, this came out... This was, like, revealed in a state of play, I think, like a year ago, maybe more. It's
2014 was the first time that this game was...
1 year, maybe
so
more.
It was, like, brought back earlier in, like, a Microsoft whatever, because it was, like, an Xbox thing.
Right.
It has been under development since 2014, is my understanding, or at least
right.
was announced then, so maybe even longer. It's been a very long time coming, and you wouldn't be able to tell.
It is odd that it's been that long.
Yeah.
Because if it had been a game that has been in development for like 3 years in an indie team and was revealed, a year and a half ago or whatever, then that makes sense for it being like, a 4 to 6 hour experience based on your puzzle solving skill.
It was just over 3 hours for me.
Right.
It's
right.
not a long game. It is on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So from that perspective... But whether even those 3 and a bit hours are worth it the whole time, I don't know. So have you played this, Tommy?
No.
Have you played this, Ben?
Yes. I mean, I think I'm nearly at the end of Act 2.
Okay.
And I
so
believe there's 5 acts.
There are 5 acts.
Yeah.
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 So I finished it off because it just flew by.
Mm-hmm. I think we have interestingly conflicting feelings about this.
Right.
Because I really love it. But it's feels like it's padded it out by making some things a little confusing.
Right.
To me, at least.
Because the game itself is a majority a puzzle game. It's a first person,
yes.
walk around these environments, try to map them out in your head, and then figure out which things relate to each other.
Sure.
You'll get a highlighted when you hover over an object that is interactable, you'll... very much see it. It'll be highlighted.
There'll be a little like interactive white symbol or circle usually.
And there's so few in the world that you can pretty quickly figure out what you're meant to be doing once you piece together where you are.
Well, yes, you can figure out what you're meant to be doing, but I found it really hard. And I only just realized it's like, look, if you get stuck, look along every wall.
Right, like a maze. You keep to the right hand wall. Yeah. Is the way, yeah.
But I was just missing so many of the interactable things because they just blend into the background.
Yeah, because the visual aesthetic of this game is great.
Yes.
It is this disgusting looking. The quick comparison is, what is it, H.R. Geiger?
Yeah,
H.R. Puff and Stuff.
That's the two H.R.'s.
From making Alien look like Alien.
Yep.
It's that sort of like gross, wet, disgusting biological machines.
Yes.
Like it's
even more like tactile than Alien because it's like, well, it's everything and you're interacting with it and it's like muscles and sinews and goo and stuff.
All those like kind of detailed ridges on every curve of a machine. It all looks fantastic. The design of it is really great. It runs a little slow at points and whatever, but even on like the Series X that I was playing it on,
right?
Design wise, I love the look of it, and they totally pull off the vibe.
Yeah,
that they're going for
really going for it as well. Like, it is gross.
Yeah,
it's like I don't think I've had that sensation playing a video game before.
The like monsters that you see as you progress through the game are like these kind of Quake looking, disgusting, like just chunks of meat who you are drilling to pieces with your weapons that you are struggling to control.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start off, and throughout the game you're mostly doing environmental puzzles in the style of like a mist or something like that.
Yeah.
Where there'll be a lever over here and it does something, and there's a button over here and that does a different thing. Which order should you press them in? Lever then button, or button then lever? Mm-hmm. The correct answer is there's a hidden elevator around the back that you needed to know about.
Yeah.
Go down first.
And that actually powers up the lever and then you press the button.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I really found all those puzzles satisfying to do. I didn't find them particularly complex because they're a little pixel hunty would be the term. You've got to look for every ingredient. But once you've got those ingredients, it's a linear straight line through the thing.
And the levels aren't too big that you're like getting lost figuring out where to go back to. It's like, you go into every accessible place and try everything and you kind of think about it for a second. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I like the puzzles. I think the thing that is my only criticism really, because I like the presentation and the weird, you know, dialogue-less cutscenes and all of that stuff. It feels very cinematic. Well, you could have put this bit of the puzzle on the other side of this room. The only reason you've made me walk up a winding staircase and then through another room and then up an elevator is because it makes it take a bit longer.
And you get a bit of a look at the art of the world and whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
In a witness way, you're just like walking around this. Mm. I found that exploration part of it satisfying personally.
I think the first time you see anything is great.
Right.
Often, yeah, like the scenes are set up to be like you walk through this doorway and then there's like a beam of light and there's a beautiful, you know, or like a disgusting but beautifully lit scene.
Right.
But I think
like
it was
this room.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I got three of us.
Meat everywhere.
All your golden hour.
Tentacles all over the fucking place.
God, I wish it was time for your B-reel. It looks so hot.
You could catch those like extra hands I've got bursting through my belly.
But yeah, it was a bit of like, because you don't move fast is the other thing.
No.
Like I'm literally holding sprint the entire time I'm playing the game.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
This feels like it might be a bit personal.
Would you be angry if I said we weren't recording this whole time? No. Have you gotten up to the combat?
Yes.
It fucking sucks ass.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't tell you much about it either.
It is slow. It's plodding. It is annoying. It is like completely unchallenging in a way because you know exactly what you've got to do, but then it's also really harsh in another way where like these enemies are fucking spitting shit at you and it's difficult to dodge because the controls aren't there for
I would
it.
Say you can't dodge.
You can't dodge it. You've got to take little pot shots, run away behind something, take little pot, and it's not fun to do.
Yeah,
and there's too much of it. That was the thing that made this game. I was enjoying the puzzles, liking looking at it, and then they stack more and more combat on as you go through.
Right.
And it fucking sucks the whole time.
That's no good. Because, I basically got up to the combat and died and was like, huh, all right. But, you know, I've been playing it all day. I'll just, you know, log off for now. So I haven't gone back to that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I'll see how I feel once I've played more of that side of it. But I also was like, yeah, I guess they've just chucked this in for someone else to do. And it's not as well executed as the puzzles, but also, again, I'm sort of thinking of it as like, well, they're probably a small team. They've got the crux of this game, but they want to make it feel like a bit more of an experience. So they've added combat.
Yeah. I think weirdly, if they'd have not had that in there at all, I'd be like, this is fun. It's good to play for 3 hours. It's like an 8 out of 10 sort of thing where the puzzles aren't like, you know, mind bending or whatever, but it's nice to walk through. And while you're doing it, it's satisfying to do. The combat completely fucking takes me out of that.
Right.
And drops it down to just this thing where like half of the time I was actively like, ugh. I still finished it because I liked that what it was doing enough and the aesthetic was nice and like seeing the design of everything was the worthwhile bit and the sort of, wordless story it tells you about this world that's destroyed itself is effective enough.
Right.
It's just a shame they put all that like really unnecessary, like in the world, man, everything would just be better if it was all puzzles, no fighting.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe that's the point the game's trying to make.
Doubt it.
Fuck.
It's a metaphor for life.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't you just wish you could do puzzles instead of having to worry about combat?
They put up a photo of Helena Taylor and Jennifer Hale and then they merge them together.
Oh. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
That's weird.
But yeah, for a Game Pass game and a puzzle game that I don't always click with puzzle games necessarily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've clicked with this I think the aesthetic and the feeling that it's creating is more than enough for me to recommend.
Worth a look. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's worth having a look. And like that's the perfect thing about Game Pass stuff is if the combat is annoying you can stop playing it.
Yeah.
And if it isn't, then you finish playing it. Right. It's really short. It's like the play count was like 3 hours 20 or something by the time it finishes. So it's a big deal either way. It's just a damn shame that they took away, shot themselves in their own foot clunkily.
Yeah, well,
with that stuff.
I would like to see them get more of a budget and maybe more a different bunch of developers to assist with turning this maybe from a puzzle game into a more of an action game with puzzles, but keeping that kind of aesthetic because the aesthetics is like really, really well done and not something that you see much of since H.R. Giger died.
If they went the opposite as well and like went, hey, here's the witness in a gross fucking alien spaceship thing. Yeah, sick.
Yeah.
Give me it.
Well, you've been let down by the combat in this game. But
hey, combat and puzzles combined.
Yes.
But there's no such game. So what am I ever going to do?
Now you should hit stop on the recorder because there's no point talking.
Well, you mean start. I'm not recording, like I said.
I'm going to give you some hope.
What?
Some sparks of hope.
The fuck does that weird bunch of words mean?
That's a fucking hell of a question.
Maybe this will help you a bit. Mario?
Oh, Mario.
Plus Rabbids.
Rabbids.
Mario and Rabbids.
Yes.
They're back, baby.
They're back. Ubisoft Zone.
Yeah.
I got to say, I've been loved the first one of these.
Yep.
Looking forward to this one for a while. Started to get a bit nervous a week out because I was just taking it as like, well, this is going to be really good. Mm-hmm. But then in my head I went, what's the most Ubisoft thing that could happen? Right. This coming out and being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
They're capable of it. They've got it in them.
It's their forte. Yeah.
In the last 5 years, though, they've made 2 great games, and this appears to be one of them.
Yes.
The other one was Mario plus Rabbids.
Rabbids 1. Kingdom Battle.
That's right.
They needed.
How dare you?
It's definitely Ubisoft working on the subtitles for this.
Terrible title. And we were saying before we recorded, even just like the franchise name being Mario plus Rabbids.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me that it's not even and, it's just like straight up first draft. This was on the whiteboard in the pitch meeting.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Not even going anything beyond the working title is crazy.
If it were Mario X Rabbids.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's a collab I'd like to see.
So this came out last night. I did something I hadn't done in a while. I waited for the clock to tick over to 12:01.
Ooh.
And I went straight in.
See, yeah. I started doubting that it was going to go live at midnight because sometimes Nintendo eShop games go up at like, you know, 4 p.m.
on third party stuff can be a line call.
But it went up.
It went up.
And I went down to bed. And I didn't play it.
Yeah, I stayed up until just after one.
Whoa.
I always like to, if I can be bothered.
That's cool.
It's good 1 hour?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I do like doing a late night, get the early cutscenes and the early tutorial stuff, get that squared away, go to bed, and then next time I'm diving in, it's just like I'm kind of in there.
Straight to the meat.
Exactly.
Well, you're lucky because, you know, in case you felt like you might have skimmed over that, every time you use a special ability, you will see a cutscene.
Yes.
That is skippable.
You can turn that. You can also turn it off.
Oh, bitch, I'm gonna. It's why would they default to it every time?
There's a lot. You watch it, because I'd read that in a review, and you watch it the first time, and I was like, that's not that long. And then it's like you do it two more times. It's like, oh, this feels like it's getting longer every time.
Yeah.
If you don't know what Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope is, by the way, it's a sequel, like we said, to Mario and Rabbids, which is a tactical, like, combat, squad combat game.
Tactical, like, turn-based, yeah. When did Kingdom Battle come out?
2017, I think.
Right.
Which, it's crazy to think back to, like, when that game was rumoured, heavily rumoured, and there were, like, the leaks of the presentation, and we were like, oh, God, the Rabbids suck, and Mario's got a gun. Like, this is going to be so bad. And then it went on to be one of my favorite games of that year. Mm. And then just, like, so much hype for this. I'm only a couple of hours in. But, man, they've nailed it.
Yeah. I think they've done it again.
Yeah.
I think I chucked a little screenshot because we hadn't seen any reviews. The first one I saw was, like, it's better than the first one.
Yeah.
And I think it is as well. I probably got halfway through the first game and never finished it, liked it. I just didn't finish it. I think I just played something else.
I don't know if you can hear this on the mics. I think you can, by the way. There's a dog fucking going rabid himself.
Yeah,
out there.
Absolutely.
A dog, absolutely.
That's rabid Donkey Kong. I love this. I do like it more than the first one because I've just powered through the entire first world, essentially. I just played it most of today. And
it really does feel like, you were saying off air, Adam, that like a NES era sequel where it's like so... It's not just... Like, I would have been happy with more of the same.
Right.
Maybe like one or two little, you know, new characters, different maps, like a couple little improvements, but like... The overworld of this is completely different. Mm-hmm. It was very, like, locked view, isometric, very linear in the first one. These worlds are all kind of, like, open worldy where you can kind of explore and there's, like, little tons of side quests. Stuff to do, which the first one had a little bit of, but not to this extent at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, tons of customization in... So the... Well, the main big thing being the movement. You were very, like, locked onto a little grid in the first one. And in this, you've got still a range of mobility. Like, you do get cut off, but you just basically can run around wherever you want. You don't have to, like, plot out your eight little squares and then just make your move. You can kind of freely run around as much as you want. You can sort of go and look over in one bit and then... decide
that's
that you don't
true.
Want to be based there. You can move back around the other way.
It makes a huge difference too because you've got abilities like the team jump thing where if you move one character to like the edge of someone else's movement circle, say you've got Luigi standing there, then you bring Mario over to him, then you can do a team jump where Luigi flings Mario in the air. You can like hover for a bit, land somewhere completely different and move a little bit more.
Mm.
And then you can go back and move Luigi back to the other side of his circle all completely freely.
If you want to heal members of your party, but keep the healer at the back of the
battle. You can do a
battle.
Dash attack.
Totally.
Like all these things that used to count towards your move turn, like once you did them, that was it.
Mm.
You can move around as much as you want, and that only stops when you take your shot, when you fire your weapon.
Yeah.
Just the amount of ground that you can cover in the start of a battle is just like expanded so much. Mm. Like
it feels great. It like really changes it to feeling like this fluid, fun, like dynamic feeling combat thing versus the originals. Not bad, but like sort of stodgy in the way that like a Fire Emblem or whatever is like, I want to do the exact perfect move.
More like chess, and this does feel a bit more kind of action game.
That's a good point, because with the original of these and something like a Fire Emblem, they almost felt like there was just a way to win a fight.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like because you were like, well, there's a literal limit on these moves that are plotted out square by square. Whereas, this feels more dynamic. It's more like you're playing a live game, even though it is turn-based.
And it makes it feel so much more creative with what you can do. Mm. Like the how much it opens my ability to lateral think is fun and satisfying.
It's a great like sequel in the sense that if you've played a lot of the first one, you know what you're in for. You've definitely got your kind of like strategies and your skills locked away, but it throws just enough new stuff in there that you are still a bit off kilter, even if you're coming to it having like done everything that you could do in the first one.
It honestly is like the perfect sequel in that way.
Yeah.
Can't imagine them doing a better job of following up the gameplay wise. A game that really took its idea and did as much as it could with it too.
Yeah.
And this refreshes it way more than I thought it would.
Yeah, same.
And it feels great. And then those additions, like you said, to the open world nature of like the different galaxies that you're going to. You're going to like Super Mario Galaxy style planets.
Yeah.
And doing little side quests and exploring around these kind of little maps that you've got there. It's not massive. It's not extensive in the way that, you know, a Super Mario Odyssey level or whatever is.
Mm.
But it's more comparable to that than the original was in any way.
You were very like the first one, you would like walk into a battle, then you would basically go through a pretty narrow little pipeline.
Yeah, like you're going through a theme park, basically. Yeah.
Or like one of those like Mario Brothers, like Super Mario 3, the overworld for that, right? Where it's a bunch of lines and you can sort of go off sometimes, but you're going along a path.
Yep.
This is more like 64 or whatever.
But so this is like, yeah, you have your main quests in each planet. And in the first one I've done, there's only two of them.
Yeah, I've
done them so I can move on to the next planet. But there's like 20 different side things. And I think in generally the side things, the point to doing them is that you are rescuing these little things called sparks, which are like a little thing that you equip to each person in your team.
It's a luma cross a rabbit.
Yeah.
So like the lumas from Mario Galaxy cross a rabbit from
which I like
Rayman raving rabbits.
The little bit of writing of the robot being like, so yeah, we'll call them, you know, luma rabbits. And then someone being like, we'll call them sparks.
Yeah.
And be like, well, no, but objectively they should be called luma rabbits. Like, sparks, everyone! Yeah, sparks
we all
is.
Love sparks.
We've got to justify the terrible title of this
game.
And you're equipping them and you get a special ability.
They're little buffs, so
you get like weapon, you've got like a character ability, and then a spark ability.
Yeah.
It's basically your three major.
So like, the incentive to go and do all the side stuff is to get more of these that give you a pretty massive level of customization
again
over the first one. Where the first one you would get currency to unlock new weapons, but basically all they were like just a bit more powerful with each new one that you unlocked, and like
maybe
you could
an
choose
element to them, like a fire effect.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You could just choose like, do you want this or that? It was pretty limited, but with this, like you can, I think you can do that to the weapons, but you also like you're upgrading these sparks as well. You can like
you can upgrade characters.
Them.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
That's what I was gonna say in terms of the sequel nature of it. It's like the gameplay is that tweak to make it better, and then they've chucked in every character that you have in your party, which initially you fight with two, then three by the end of the first planet, and maybe more. I don't know. You can upgrade. Yeah, each of them in terms of like movement stuff, attack stuff, defense stuff. You can also auto upgrade, which I did.
There's a skill tree that will give you the typical skill tree things of like several health buffs and then like a skill further down the line and whatever.
Yeah.
And auto upgrading, that seems fine.
Yeah.
Because you can also refund all of the points you've put in at any point and just respec them at any time. So if there's a battle where you need a specific thing, cool.
Yeah.
You have a big roster to begin with. I don't think you've got everyone quite unlocked. The one thing I really liked in the first one, you were finding new characters kind of as you went. And so it kind of made you spend a lot of time with each character so that by the time you were having to like kind of pick a team, you sort of had a bit of an idea of who everyone was.
Right.
This one, because you're starting with a party of two and you've got five?
Six. You've got Mario, Luigi, Rabbit Mario, Rabbit Luigi, Peach, and Rabbit Peach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get
the Joker?
Yeah, the Joker.
You get
pretty
the
early
Joker.
On in that.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you've got this like, it is kind of making you do a bit of like, you're having to like put these people in your team and experiment with them a bit, where it's like, the first one kind of did that a bit more organically by having them all sort of gated. But
That's
I also
true.
Think it's a better call for a sequel to just have, you know, not make you go through all that sort of like Metroid style where it's like, oh no, you've lost all your abilities again.
Yeah.
And you're doing the same thing on like a larger scale, but with smaller effect with these sparks that you're getting too. Because each of them isn't so significantly different that it's like a big like, whoa, now I've got Luigi who's the sniper.
It's more of like, do you prefer to use fire attacks or slime attacks personally? Right.
Defense, whatever.
I get the impression that you do unlock more significant ones as you go along. Like there's ones to add another dash and stuff,
and if it's,
stuff like that that would be really, really helpful to a certain play style, which I'm excited to get into.
And like we say, it only came out, we've only been playing it today, but if it's anything like the size of that first one was a great length.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really into this so far. I'm really looking forward to that progression, because the surprises and stuff that got thrown in along the way of that first one, if this one matches up to that, then
so far I'm hoping for a little more.
And I would be pro that.
Ubisoft are a little like, it does feel like so far at the start of this, because what was cool about the first one was like, oh, the Mario world got sucked into this rabbit world and there's kind of a combination. So it's like, here's, you know, here's the Mushroom Kingdom, but stuff has rabbit ears and all this kind of stuff. It feels a bit more like Ubisoft being like, no, we got this now. We're just going to completely do our own thing, which I do hope there is a bit more of that sort of Mario-ness brought into it. Because so far this first world, it just seems like straight up, like just kind of, you know, rabbit style.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of aesthetic.
That's, they're doing the Mario Galaxy thing of planets, though, so they could do anything down the line, for
hopefully
sure.
Hopefully they, yeah.
But I'm not minding what they're doing so far.
Stuff in,
No, but I didn't even twig that was different, honestly. Yeah.
There's some toads about and stuff. And
there are.
Yeah.
Oh, and you can pick up coins and stuff in the overworld. And like, oh, you have little power-ups.
You're getting coins
and little mushrooms.
Star bits to like buy items or to feed to your Luma, to your sparks to upgrade them. Bunch of different items like these. When you complete a quest, you get a planet coin, which lets you buy specific items on that planet that are like journal entries and like extra
like
stuff.
Like weapon customization stuff.
Specific to that planet.
Right, right.
But we haven't even talked about the biggest difference in this game so far. And that is that
yeah.
for some reason, the rabbits talk now.
It's really weird. It's the weirdest implementation of voice acting I've seen this side of... Banana 3. But
like, it's like, wah! So I'm Mario and I'm going to do this now, but I'm Rabbit Mario. Like,
so
that's basically.
Rabbit Mario used to just go, in the first game, he's like, wah! And in this, he's like, oh, who's this?
Hey,
oh, this fucking guy.
So here's
that's better than normal Mario.
My weird problem with it that I don't think I've ever seen another game do this strange middle ground before, where plenty of games will have some voice text. And then sometimes not voiced.
Yep.
That's common.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen a game do like half of the text voiced and then the rest. So
sometimes
as
it's
an
all
example,
voiced. Sometimes it's not voiced at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to
sometimes
read,
like two words.
You had a can of San Pellegrino, must be nice to hear, Tommy.
Hell.
Doing all right.
I'm going to
read.
Very
good work if you can get that.
I'm going to read something from it. And this will be the text. The first run through is the full text.
All right.
The second one will be what Rabbit Mario says.
Yep.
Oh, so it's Rabbit Mario.
So the full text that you're reading is, store in a clean, cool, dry and odorless place away from direct sunlight and freezing temperature. Rabbit Mario will say, for some reason, store in a clean, cool, dry place. Ugh, freezing temperature. Just skip a weird amount of it. Just say this. And it's like
or
when...
Or like a random word, or it'd just be like temperature.
Temperature.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like when they go, oh, in like, you know, Zelda games or whatever. Just someone will make a noise and you'll read it. But it fucking is so weird to have them read some.
It's kind of very true.
Because they're all unique. They've recorded one for every line. The amount of file space you're fucking saving by only having them do it, I don't get it.
And because the presentation doesn't change. Every cutscene is in engine. Like it's
They're FMVs that are like in engine style that are weirdly low quality. That's one of the things I was going to bring up, is that they're sort of compressed.
And frame rate issues with those as well. I had
the technical, other than the weird, and I'm having it is fine, and the voice acting is all pretty decent, and all the characters are lively, and the writing is quite good.
It's the
same sort of like funny enough from that first one.
Yep.
But the game, the big problem that it has is like technical limitations on the Switch, really.
Even when it just pans over the level when you first get there, like hitching up and stuff. Like.
It is. And the art style, people have made a bigger deal, as you know, with the Spider-Man puddles, and people do this, but like the art style is a bit different from the first one, where it's less detailed, so that it could be on this sort of bigger scale is the assumption.
But
it looks a bit different. I don't think worse. The art direction is still good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the way that it looks. You can just tell that the Switch is old.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is still points to, this is one of the big ones that points to my conspiracy theory that the Pro was ready to go and they had to like scale this back.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they've got, there's a lot of loading in it too.
There's loading going into a menu.
I think it is.
The way that it's
loading. This is one of those ones that screams to me of like, you've had to, yeah, this wasn't meant to be running on this hardware. Maybe that's just tinfoil hat kind of stuff. But I think it, with things maybe. Like, yeah, the amount of loading screens there are and, I mean, yeah, I don't think any of that gets in the way of like the fun that is in the game, but it is, yeah, it is noticeable that it's showing its age. It's perhaps a more ambitious, slightly more ambitious game than could natively, which should natively be running on the Switch.
Right, but in a way that you can't really tell when you're playing it though, because the Switch is so behind, it doesn't feel like it's, whoa, I can't believe this is running on a Switch.
Just don't look at the, what do they do? What are they called? The comparison video.
Oh, right.
You know, just play it and don't have that side-by-side thing.
No, but it just when you're playing it, it is noticeable that it's hitching and it's noticeable that it's loading more than games do these
Definitely,
days.
Definitely, but so, yeah, just the visual style. Because I had no idea that they'd, you know, pared down that aesthetic.
And I don't think it's a big deal. Because it looks good still. Yeah, the design is
very vibrant, very colourful. It pops on the OLED screen.
Like, I saw a pixelated thing on the screen where I was like, that's literally pixelated, but I don't care. The game's really fun.
The compression on the cutscenes is like real noticeable, but also I've watched YouTube.
Yeah. I reckon. Yeah, it's super fun. You know, sometimes with like a really good sequel, it's pretty easy to go, you know what? You don't have to have played the first one.
Oh yeah, right.
Jump in on this, but I mean, if this is sounding interesting to you, I think you probably are still better off starting with the first one, just so you've got that.
Yeah,
you
there
could
is
go
enough
back
of an elevation.
Well,
I would do it backwards, yeah, because like. Because they're different.
Yeah.
Like the gameplay is different, but the spirit is kind of the same.
Yeah. Yep. It's a great additive sequel where neither is replaced by one another.
Yeah.
And really exciting really to like see it. What they do with the DLC. They've already kind of hinted that one of them will be, because they did a big like Donkey Kong expansion for the first one that was like all new characters, completely different maps, side story, which was really cool. Mm. They've already said they're going to do a Rayman one, which will be cool. And then two other ones, I think, that are sort of, they haven't really said what they'll be. Yoshi's not in this, and he was in the first one.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Hopefully, there's like a Yoshi's Island themed
He's
one.
Not in this at all?
No, I don't believe he is.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense for DLC so, then, yeah.
How do you boycott something after you've bought it?
But yeah, super fun. Yeah, so glad that they had another crack at this and that they didn't fuck it.
Yes.
It's really great. I'm looking forward to playing more of it the second you cunts get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how long it is. Because, yeah, I don't know. I clocked that first planet and I guess the intro stuff like this afternoon. And I just got up in the morning and
I heard a review that said they'd spent like 30-something hours in it. I don't know
Damn.
If that was they were doing everything.
The first one I feel like hovered around 20-ish.
Right.
Yeah.
Somewhere like that just kind of blast through.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot more side stuff in this, so I could see 30.
And I guess
mean, the battles are just so fun that this does feel like a thing where I feel really incentivized to just go and do every one of those side things. Because if it's going to mean a new little map, a new little battle with like an interesting little twist in it. Then
and I guess I'm playing it on normal and I didn't like lose a battle until like the boss of the world.
Yep.
So I assume obviously it'll get harder and that'll, you know, slow me down. But
first one really ramped up from memory, but yeah.
I think I probably dropped out when it got, you know, a bit too hard for me to.
That was the thing everyone said about it. Pretty
through.
Intense difficulty spike,
right?
At a certain point of that first one from memory.
I remember that too.
Adam's had a little suck of how long to beat.com if I had to put money on what he's doing on his phone.
It's not around, but 20 to 30. You're looking
okay.
at.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll keep playing this and talk about it more later.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though tomorrow I'm going to play the Call of Duty campaign.
I'll be playing Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights is out.
Speaking of frame rates.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, yeah, they it's launching with 30 frames per second as
the only
option.
Yeah, other than, like, on PC.
Right.
Where you can, so.
Right, that's true.
I guess we'll talk about that next week, right?
Yeah,
I'll play some of that, too.
Yep. I'm excited for it, even despite the 30 frames per second thing. Mm.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Well, Bayonetta's the week after.
Yep. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
We're set.
Fucking God of War's in like 3 weeks.
It's all happening, baby.
Sonic Frontiers.
Oh, yes.
Now this, I cannot wait to.
The second and third Pokemon game of the year.
Yep.
Bunch of games coming out.
And then We'll do our Game of the Year episode.
Callisto Protocol.
Oh, yeah, that's December 2nd. I think they dated that today, maybe.
I think Marvel Midnight Suns is still this year, too. XCOM Marvel thing.
Oh, and a bunch of indie games as well.
There's a ton of fucking shit out all of the time. including us. We're out. See ya.
Also, maybe I'll play a Plague Tale Requiem for next week because I have downloaded it on Game Pass.
All right, guys. Well, head to filthycasuals.com.au. For the links to all the stuff that we have, we got the Patreon, as we mentioned earlier. Get on there and you can get a bonus episode every week. We are about to drop a new premium Bandcamp episode.
Yeah, well.
It's already there if you're on the Patreon, $10 tier.
That's right. The main tier, $10 US.
Yep.
You get pretty much you get everything that we offer. You get access to the Discord, the Facebook group. You get premium Bandcamp episodes a week before they go up on Bandcamp.
Yep.
You get videos a week before they go up on YouTube.
Yeah,
check out the YouTube channel.
Well, one video a week.
L.A. Noire currently playing through.
And our other podcast, Nintendo 69, which is this, but for other things than video games.
Yeah, very true. I've been watching a lot of horror movies. If you like horror movies, I'm doing a bit of a Halloween fest, so I'll talk about some more.
I went and saw Hamilton last night.
Oh, very scary.
We're going to see Tame Impala on Sunday night.
When we record on Monday, we're going to fucking give it to Kevin Parker with our scathing review of the Tame Impala concert.
I wonder if we'll be hungover or not.
Little press hats on.
Yeah.
Watching the laser show, trying to get a look at our notebook and scribble our little thoughts into.
I was talking
Pink
to someone
Floyd already did it.
Yeah, it's talking to someone who knows about the tour and is like, they didn't have an epilepsy warning initially, and it's the light show is off chops.
We should talk about this they've got a bonus because warning. It's crazy that they just put on the Instagram like, hey, people have been having seizures, so just be careful when you come along. It's like,
Jesus.
I mean, could maybe consider like changing. Anyway, it just seems like a weird thing.
Put it
thing
on the ticket printout.
In this
they
day
just,
and age to just be like, sorry, but that's on you.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thanks very much for listening. Yes. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We sincerely appreciate your patronage.
Oh, sincere.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.